Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. The perfect praise belongs to God. Nasta'inuhu, nasta'firuhu, anubdu bihi asrujal, shahadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la shabikullah, shahadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa al alihi wa sahabi ishma'in wa mabad. We seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, the open, avowed enemy to mankind. He doesn't make a secret about it. And we bear witness that we say, with the name of God, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, merciful twice. Mercy that he gives us benefits that we don't even ask for. He gives us benefit we don't even know to ask for. Life, water, mother, things, we don't even know what to ask of these things. The functioning of our bodies depends upon blessings. That's Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. And then he comes again with the offer to us as Ar-Rahim, the merciful redeemer. Another chance, more mercies. And these more mercies come to those who have came into a consciousness and awareness. And I don't think we use that phrase or push that concept enough to the Muslim's consciousness and its importance. That is Ar-Rahim, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, the redeemer. We only ask Allah for help, nasta'inuhu. We only ask Allah for help, nasta'firuhu, and only do we ask for forgiveness. We ask Allah, we seek Allah for forgiveness. Now, this idea of forgiveness, as with many other concepts in our religion, they are institutions. Like Zakat is an institution, right? Forgiveness is also an institution. You seek Allah's forgiveness. Sometimes we got to go to the person who we offended and get their forgiveness also. It's a working relationship. And it is in Allah who we believe, and also Jah, highly glorified is He. We bear witness that there is only one God, Allah. No partners, no associates. There's no deal being cut with anything. There's no contract of anything. Allah is God alone. Completely, totally, 100%, solidly, however you want to, adjective you want to give to it, Allah is one. Kul hu wallahu ahad. Ahad. You notice that it could have said kul hu wallahu wahid, but it didn't for a reason. Wahid got company. Wahid got family members called Isnad, two. And the last had three. But Ahad don't have any family members. Ahad, it means one, and that's it. It's in Kalas, Ikhlas, right? That's why it's in Ikhlas, right? Kalas. Ahad, one. There's no comma, there's no semicolon, there's no, it's a big exclamation mark. One, emphatically, one. And then there's no other room for the conversation. Unless you're going to say, Allah who from that. Let me live or let you live. That's reaffirming the fact, the reality. Kul hu wallahu ahad. Say he Allah is one. When it says cool, that is command. Open your mouth and speak it out. You don't hold it inside. You have it inside, but you don't hold it inside. You open your mouth and say what? Allahu ahad, Allah is one. So we are not confused about that in any form, fashion at all, about the oneness of Allah. And also when we say Allah, there's two L's there for a reason. Because we got the shatter above the lamb. So remember Muhammad told us this. When you say Allah, on the first part, make sure the tip of your tongue touches the roof of your mouth. Allah. You see into the heavens and come back down to the planes of reality. Allah. It brings you up and brings you back to earth. But sometimes we say it so fast, we be saying Allah. It's not Allah, it's Allah. And the second syllable should be a little bit elongated. Allah. Yes. Alhamdulillah, he'll be allowed to me. So Allah is one and one alone. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. He's our Nabi. He's our prophet, Muhammad. If you're upon him, he's our prophet, but he's Allah's messenger. He's not your messenger. We gave Muhammad no message. We gave him to nobody. Allah gave Muhammad the message, the revelation. And he comes and he prophesies on our benefit. He's our prophet. And even in the business world, B-R-O-F-I-T, he's still our prophet. Because we benefit from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. We're in the last days of our month of Ramadan. Ramadan is our the fasting, the siyam, Ramadan, is a special guest. You know how you get someone in the family drinks, not seen in a while, and you're glad to see them? Come over there and make yourself at home. This is how we treat Ramadan. And I'm even from the young, that's relative, right? But those who are, many of them are born Muslim. I heard them say a few years ago, they said, I can't wait to Ramadan get here. I need it. Now, my experience, and maybe some of your experience, who came from the background, Christian background, if we had to get used to not eat, like, it's like, oh, man. And then long high some of these in particular, right? But Allah blessed us to be faithful and diligent. But now we understand that Ramadan is our special guest, and you want to treat your special guest well. You don't treat your special guest any kind of way. You make them feel welcome in your home. You make them feel like they're really going to be missed. We do miss Ramadan. You know, everybody likes to eat. You know, we're not going to say that that's not true. Everyone likes to eat and drink, right? But everyone wants to like the blessings, too. Ramadan been good to us. We should never go into Ramadan and not expect some big blessings. I know I got some this year. I got two. I got one the other day. I tell my wife, last year, I'm saying, this is my personal business, but I'm saying, last year I filed my taxes late, right, to this company. I went back. I said, I couldn't find my tax work to beat the deadline. I couldn't find it. And I found it was way past the deadline. And I'm getting a nice return back, right? So when I turned it in, they said, too late, you got to file through the mail, hard copy. That's back in November. I'm like, oh, no, I need this money right now, you know? Nobody came, right? I'm doing Ramadan. I said, I'm doing it a lot. It's right on time. So Allah is merciful. Allah is very merciful. You should be happy. This is Ramadan. This is a very special time. But you know what happened in Ramadan? The whole trajectory of the world shifted. Those five ayahs, like I said too, those five verses, the day of Muhammad started that day. We're still living in the day of Muhammad right now. The completion of revelation that's coming through all the prophets, Adam, Noah, Moses, Jesus, the color came, that conclusion, that perfection of the whole lot of revelation. But on that night, lit like the Kajuli, the night of power. And why is it a powerful night? You know, we can look at it, okay, it's not a power, why is it powerful? But you know, the whole movement of humanity changed that night forever. The long line of prophets, and each prophet, as you read, they always leave the door open. All of them. I can't tell you all things now. Moses. I can't go into the promised land with you. Yes, there's always a door open. Why? Because it wasn't time for the day of Muhammad. On that night, Lil at the Kajuli, right? That opened the door for the forgiveness in the eyes of people, of the prophets, because all the prophets before them in their books showed them as being drunkards, molesters, thieves, liars. They lied on all the prophets until Iqra came on that night, and Muhammad, he signified all the prophets. Y'all lied on my brothers. Y'all lied on my fathers. Yeah. Amen. Muhammad gets to understand. It says the Lord's Prayer, right? It's the Lord's Prayer. Oxymoron, right? The Lord don't have a prayer. The Lord, he dictates. We hear prayers, because we don't know. Yes? So anyway, it says, our Father who art in heaven. The man broke it down to us. He said, that's talking about Adam and Abraham. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what hallowed mean? Sanctified. I want to lie on your name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Remember how we went through the ascension, the seven levels? And got the message, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He had to go to heaven to get the message, to get the instructions, to get the guidance. He said when he was there on the highest planes there, he was like two arrows shot from the same boat for one target. Tahir, right, the oneness. He said his eyes didn't swerve. In other words, he didn't miss none of it. And when he came back down to earth, what did he do? He said, I got the instructions now. he went to Medina and established Medina and Menorah, the city of lights. That's the heaven on earth, their motto of human excellence. But it begins on Laylat al-Qadr, during the month when our friend is here. Ramadan is our friend. So we've been lied to, dear people. We're given half instructions. That's the same as lie, right? Huh? You can't tell a lie unless you got 95% truth in it. You can't tell a lie unless you got at least 75% truth in it. Because if you tell a 100% lie, they're going to say lock him up and he lost his mind. He's gone crazy. Talking like that, it ain't making no sense. So on this night of power, and this month of Ramadan, Ramadan is your friend. That's a friend. A friend brings you some good stuff, right? Yeah, a friend brings you, yeah, buy it, and I'm leaving something for you. Yeah, what are you leaving me? I'm leaving you the completion of the plan of God. This is the beginning of the completion of the plan of God for man. The day of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad comes and he completes, Allah through him completes the revelation. He dignifies all the prophets. But then he began to kill the plan, scheme of the shaitan, who uses religion and religious language to cheat us out of our destiny. Well, how can Satan use language and religion to cheat us out of our destiny? Because he will always glorify man or image in the past and don't tell you the whole story. That's why I say you, to tell a lie, you know, you got to have a whole lot of truth in it. But the part they leave out is that all of those excellent models, if they are a model, don't call them a model and I can't emulate them. They're a model. Allah says, if the earth had been populated with angels, I would send you an angel. But if it was populated with people, I sent you a man. Allah would not and did not send us a man that we could not, in his excellence, in his character, emulate. So how we cheated? They want to put them on a higher level, almost very spooky. Spookism. To the point to where you got some men, in Islam even, they give more reverence to the prophet than to Allah. Yes, they do. They put the prophet on the even plane with Allah. Say, where's your proof? Go in the masjid. One side got Muhammad on the same level, you got Allah. Huh? That's a mistake. Cheats us, deny us, cripple us from seeing that the excellence in Muhammad, you know, we would like the revelation. He got it. But his excellence is in us. Christ Jesus said it in the Bible. I'm in you and you in me. This is Bible, right? Bible says, Jesus says, greater things will you do than I. What is it trying to tell us? But they want to give us images. And for our African-American experience, they really beat us down. They gave us a white image. They put it in the spookism where we can't see it. But when Muhammad came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, get rid of all the idols. He leveled the playing ground, no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab. He got rid of nationalism. He got rid of racism. The superiority of a white over a black or a black over a white. He leveled the playing field. He wanted to open our eyes to where we can see that the destiny, the potential in all these prophets is a description of qualities that Allah put in us. Because he would not have sent them as a model if we could not emulate them. That would be cruel. That would be cool. I feel like Michael Jordan teaching kindergarten how to dunk basketball. It's so you how silly it would be. Don't give me a model that I can't achieve. That's very unfair. Say time locked up. question to everybody. Now, he going up for parole on Tuesdays. You don't have to. You can deny Shaitan parole if you want to. You ain't got to lay him out. Say, parole denied. Boom. Yeah. If he locked up, only reason why he locked up because you and your discipline locked him up. Don't lose the discipline when Ramadan ends. Say, I don't know how someone will do. They get saved. You can tell you. I mean, I miss you, man. I miss you. I couldn't eat, couldn't drink. Come on, man. We go hang out together. Hell, no. Rabbi, you got to watch your mouth a little bit, right? It's still hell no, because we can say no to hell. I said, no, I'm not going. You're by yourself, Shaitan. Shaitan will say it too, and Shaitan will sold shoes. He's going to turn state evidence on you anyway on judgment day. He's going to turn, yeah, we did it, but I just told him we're going to have a good time. But they came on their own. So leave that rascal locked up. Ramadan didn't leave him locked up. He said, well, I had a trouble with this, trouble with that. But during Ramadan, I can deal with it. Well, then keep it going afterwards. Don't let that rascal out of jail. What's that game, Monopoly? Go to jail, do that. Don't get him to get out of the jail pass. No. Keep the discipline of your friend Ramadan. This is very serious talk. I know we kind of humorous, but this is very serious talk because that is those are things that deny us from coming to our human excellence. That's what it's all about. Coming back to our original self. That is what Ramadan is about. Coming back to your original self, being born again. Anytime some of those hard-head Christians, I mean those nice Christians, hard-head Christians, tell them, you got to be born again. I said, how many times you been born again? They're going to say, I've been born again once. I said, that all? Every Ramadan, I'm born again. Yeah. Every time I do some good deeds, I'm born again. What does born again mean? Well, again, means going back to your original self, your original nature. That's why the Ramadan is the ninth month and the baby's born in 9 months. Because you come back to your original nature, fitra. They celebrate it on the Eid day, Eid el-Fitra. Each night we break our meal, we have an iftar. Iftar, fitra, they are from the same root saying what? Back to my original self. That's being born again. And guess what? It's a virgin birth. Huh? It's a virgin birth. What does that mean? That thinking a man, all that science they got and technology they got and this big causes they got and big business they got, you couldn't have birthed this. What's in me? Only Allah can do this. No man can touch this. Tell them hammer time. You can't touch this. Oh, you can't touch this. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. But Ramadan is our friend. You can't beat a friend like that. You cannot be. You say, come on in, friend. Have a seat. You want something to eat? Let me take your shoes off. That's how we treat our friends, Ramadan. Are we going to miss it? But keep the disciplines of Ramadan. And then before you know it's time for your friend to go. It's like, you really have to go. Can you stay around a little longer? Yeah. But you can fast 6 days. This is Shabbat. The month after Ramadan. Not Shabbat, before Ramadan. Huh? So, well, yes. You can fast 6 days then. You can fast Daud on Mondays and Thursdays. Keep that discipline. Keep it. All that Allah gave us and our five pillars of Islam, they are perfect descriptions, perfect guidance to bring us into the human being Allah wants us to be. And we take none of them for granted. Thank Allah, highly glorified is He, for giving us this month of Ramadan. Allah says in the Quran, over like this from Jin, this from Rabbi Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladina aminu kutaba alaykum asiyamu kama kutaba alayhi alladhin min qablikum. And you said, Ali says self-restraint. That's true. But it's also in Tatakum saying, your God consciousness, coming to the consciousness. Maybe important to me speaks more about their consciousness. The importance of consciousness. And the use of our brain. Allah gave us a brain to use. Because our brains are not conscious. They're not conscious. They're led by the jinn. They're led by the appetite. The banner Atina Fidunya has an Atina Fidunya has an Atina Fidunya has an Atina Fidunya. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله The perfect praise belongs to Allah. The perfect praise. So we are going to wrap up this month of Ramadan, inshallah. The best, the 10 days should be more intense. They say that the first 10 is days for forgiveness. It's a mercy, forgiveness, mercy, mercy. And the second 10 days is for forgiveness. And the last 10 days, we pray to be moved far away from the hellfire. Far from the hellfire. Hellfire don't wait until you die to get you. Hellfire, you get a taste of heaven from this side of life, and you get a taste of hell on this side of life. And you get the fullness, one or the other, both, after this life. So we pray to be removed far away from the hellfire. So on the concept of consciousness, awareness, is the light coming on in each of us in our understanding. To be aware, alert, and sensitive to, with rational-based faith. We have faith, but our faith is not gooey, not like silly putty. It's not emotional faith. It's rational faith, rational-based faith that has a logic to it. And you follow the logic to where? To this logical conclusion. Yeah. It's not going against the Quran. I'm not going against the life model of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow your logical mind to its logical conclusion in the path of Allah. And when the conscious come on, when the light come on, it's going to make sense with the word of God. It's going to be connected with and make sense with the word of God. You're going to say, Alhamdulillah. The consciousness is to be in front of and leading the emotions in our life. So, yes, we have emotions. We have feelings. But the logic, the rationale, to be leading the emotions. If the emotions are leading the rationale, you're going to be a victim of appetite. You're going to be a victim of habits. Those habits and those appetites are going to dominate you and going to punish you because you are outside of the natural order which Allah wanted you to have. He wanted us to have emotions. We're not robots. We have feelings. The Prophet Muhammad, he cried when his son Ibrahim died. He got feelings. He didn't cry. He didn't fall out crying and screaming and running around. Because then his emotions would have been leading his rational mind. congressional mind said Allah gives life and Allah gives death. I'm sad, but Allah gives life and Allah gives death. So we have to come into consciousness and have to allow each other to come into consciousness at their pace. Yeah. My brother Yaya, he would say, you got 2 5-gallon jugs. One got a big mouth on the front, on the top, and one got a little neck that big. Then both will hold the whole 5 gallons. Whatever information you got given, right, they can hold it. But one you can get poured in, right? The big mouth. But the ones that are a little bitty, open it, you got poured in slow. They will get the same thing that the big mouth jug got. In fact, be told, the one you pour it in slow, they're going to get more. Because they had to think about it. They had to process it. They had to work with it. So let each of us be respectful of each other and come into their consciousness. Because you say, a man changed against his will, the man of the same mind still. Got that? Man changed against his will. He didn't want to change. He changed, right? You can quit messing with him and get on his case. But on the inside, he was like, first, if I get him out of here, I'm thinking of Mother Harriet Tubman. All right. Okay. Second, Douglas, too. Okay. Just give me a crack. I'm out of here. It's a crack in the door. I'm out of here. Yeah, so if a person sinned against their will for the same mind still, then we should quit trying to foresight understanding to rip on somebody else. Right? Let them come at their own pace. Sometimes at a slow pace, they got the details you missed going like that. Right? You drive down the street doing 50, right? You're only going to see but a little bit because you got to keep that eye in the front. Someone comes in doing 20, they can stop and look and observe. Yeah, take more in. The person who, this is the opposite of the prophet. It's upon him. The person who struggles to learn the Quran is a bigger blessing than the one that gets it like that. The one that gets it like that, they say, oh, yeah, I remember. How many juices you know? I know 2 or 3. I know 5 juices. How many I worked on the first one. But you've been missing longer than him. Yeah, I know, but I'm still working on the first one. Then you take those same 2 people and you sit down and talk to them about their understanding of what they got. The one who got it like that, if I hold like a parakeet, he can give it back to you like a tape recorder if you wire and play back. No understanding. No insight. So consciousness I'm talking about, right? Each person coming to it at their own rate. Same for our children. A mother don't raise this child. They can be twins. She don't raise this child the same as their child when she sees something in their child that's needy or special compared to this child that's something needy or special. They're going to raise them, feed them, saying, go to the same store, buy clothes and do all that. But when it comes time to addressing the needs, they say, the child that jump all over your furniture, and hang from the chandelier, put them in gymnastics, Yeah. If someone else who can't do it, say, well, I don't think that's for you. But direct them. Bring it back home. Let each person grow at their own pace in Islam. And the one who you think is slow may get processed a little different. Because you said to the one that's fast learner, you may say, son. And they say, yeah, the son is this, the son is that. But someone else who you say son to, they got to look at it for a while. Got to study it. They come back with a whole dictionary of stuff about the son. So just let us grow. Because it's about consciousness. When I can't bring you into my consciousness, you can't bring me into your consciousness. You can't bring each other to your consciousness. Allah says to each of you to go there, he turned us. So why are we trying to turn somebody into our particular goal? Don't do that. That's why when you eat an aha, you slaughter an animal, we should slaughter an animal that we raised. It don't mean a four-legged animal out there on the farm either. I'm talking about an animal, a characteristic inside you that you need to get rid of. So you can be happy, because people can be happy around you. Attitude, or smart mouth, or play too much, or whatever it may be, right? Kill that animal and make everybody happy. So Allah is good to us. So Allah has given us what we need. And with the Quran, the Quran is a dictionary for itself. That's right. So I can go get the other book. You really don't. Just keep studying the Quran. Whatever you see in the Quran, if you don't get the answer, the dictionary, the Quran is in the dictionary. That's why the book is perfect. He gave us Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an excellent model for all people, not some people, for all people. And we're thankful and we're grateful for that. And we keep that evermost in front of us in our mind. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, is more important than our mother, our father, our wives, our husband, more important. And we are thankful to Allah, I glorify the teacher, for giving us a teacher today, an Imam W.D. Muhammad. He has given us guidance and insight for the world of the world. Yes. So may Allah bless us and give us the best of Ramadan. And may we strive for the best of Ramadan. Yes, strive for the best. Those late Tahawiyah prayers and all that, you know, you don't have to, but you want to go for the best. Yeah? Go for the best. Alhamdulillah. Our Lord, send us good in this atonement of the fires to sin. Ameen. God come to Salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala Salah.
Allahu Akbar.
Hello, who asked, Father?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka al-Na'budu wa Iyaka al-Nasta'in, Ihdina al-Sirata al-Mustaqim, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشر لك صدرك ورزقنا أكرسك الذي أنكر شرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإنما العسر يسرا إنما العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ala Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ala Ibrahim. Barak ala Muhammadin wa ala ala Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ala Ibrahim. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ala Ibrahim. Kama salaita ala
for the $10 per
remember, so you were responsible before, and give them cash to them, don't win it, so they know where it came from, so they knew it was for. And also, when we get tomorrow, a few of us, we got books for the people, package. We got to throw a lot of books. Yes, ma'am. Hey, what's wrong?
It was, prayer that Prophet Muhammad used. Are you doing that, or?
Yeah, I sent the email out for that, Dr. Green, and she gave it to me. I don't know if it's done as a community or not.
Okay.
I don't know. I really don't know. Anybody know? Yeah. You can look into it. But if not, you can do it on your own. Send your email. Thank you. Get some. Get passed around. Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, can you hear me? Me? Are you Cliffs? I don't know. You have been here for 40 years. I don't know what
to ask.
Oh, yeah, for one time. Oh, that reminds me. I got plenty of sunglasses. Thank Cliffs sunglasses, right? Anybody want one to take on, please? The personal one. It's up with the script. Yes, sir. We want you to come back in. I know you like to come back blind on this now. Yes. And also, there for health care tomorrow at the Marin County Public Health Department in the Melbourne. I don't know what happened yet. Okay. Assalamualaikum, day one. Do you think it's it?
Evidence convincing, like the seeing with the eye. This is the message of the Quran. Should we, knowing this, having this great knowledge, should we preach today like the man preached to the people in primitive times? Should we use the same language? Should we compose our text to satisfy the primitive, the jinn, and the primitive people? When we live in a society that is enlightened, we live in an enlightened society. The society has the primitive nature. We are caught in the grip of primitive nature, but we are an enlightened society. To bring the man out of his primitiveness, shouldn't you appeal to his strength? You should appeal to his enlightenment. But if he has no enlightenment, you have to appeal to his common sense, to his good nature. But when the man has some enlightenment, shouldn't you appeal to his enlightenment? To shame him, to let him know how he now has fallen beneath his own standards, has fallen beneath his own doctrine? Yes. Some people want me to stand up here and just quote hadith. Some people would like for me to read the Quran letter for letter and quote hadith and not bother referring or comparing the Bible with the Quran. They're backwards. They're still in primitive days. They have allowed themselves to lose sight on the key for success. The key for success is to stay in tune with the time, with the nature and the demands of time. You don't come and preach to Christians like you preach to a heathen who's been worshiping sticks and stones. Even if you find a Christian worshiping sticks and stones, you don't address him as though he's a heathen worshiping sticks and stones. If you find a man drunk, do you address him as a drunk, or do you address him as a human being with intelligence? Say, man, you should be ashamed of yourself, getting in this fix, giving yourself to this weakness. Look what you're doing to your wife. Look how you're shaming yourself before your children. We don't apply the same rules of intelligence in religion that we apply in our daily life. Now, I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, that much of the Quran is yet to be understood by the Arabs. In order to understand the predicate and the subject, they need to study the Jewish people and the Christian people more. They need to study the books that have been revealed to those people so they can see what problems was the Holy Quran addressing, what problems was Allah addressing through his prophet Muhammad that were existing in the texts of the Jews and in the texts of the Christians. Don't isolate yourself from this world that God was speaking to. God was addressing this whole world. Atheists, Christians, Jews, and whatever they are, Allah addressed the whole world through Prophet Muhammad. And anyone who thinks he can come from Arabia and close his eyes to the whole world and teach us the Quran is a blind fool. He cannot understand the Quran in any appreciable fashion until he first understands the environment that he's in. And when he leaves Arabia and comes to America, he's in a drastically different environment. So he should stop worrying about the superficial things, the rituals, the ritualistic things. He should give up his fear of losing the things that are close to him in his Arabian environment. And he should become conscious of the things that have been lost from the Jewish environment, from the Christian environment that God intended for them. And he revealed the Quran to guide us back to the way, not only Muslims, Jews, Christians, all of us. We have to accept that Abraham is our father. Adam is our father. Also Abraham is our father. Adam represents the common man. The common man is our father. But also Abraham is our father. We have been raised by our common fathers, and we have been raised by God's prophet. The first father is a common man. The second father is the prophet of God. Isn't that right? God says of Abraham, Abikum Ibrahim, your father Abraham. Yes, so that's our father. Why he didn't say your father Moses? Moses was a prophet. Why he didn't say your father Jesus? Jesus was a prophet. Why he said your father Abraham? Because Abraham is a prophet whose role was that of a parent, a father responsible for his children. Abraham was raised up among pagan people who had lots of ignorance, primitive ignorance. and Abraham was guided to search for truth with a rational eye. He observed the stars and the sun and everything, and he saw in the movement of sky a sign that there is a creator, a planner, a designer behind all of this, and that he's not one, two, he's not three, pardon me, two, three, and four. He's not many. He's one. He saw one nature, one creation, and one pattern, one design dominating throughout the whole creation. And he says there's one God, and there is no God associated with that God. Everything else is servant. Everything else is creation and servant, only one God. Abraham said that. Then Abraham was moved to even share his own life, the life of his own loins, to serve people. Abraham is a symbol of charity. He was ready to kill his own son to please God. But God told him that having the desire was the same as effecting it. That he had not, God didn't want him to kill his son. But he had shown faith because he was willing to kill his son. That even his own child could be sacrificed. He was going to please God. So Abraham was moved by two strong influences. The search for truth, rational motivation. And he was moved by faith. Faith in God. A faith that did not weaken, even when his own child's life was at stake. His faith did not weaken. And God told him to kill the ram, the sheep. Kill the lamb. Let that be the sacrifice. And feed it to the people. So he took one of his lambs and he shared it with his neighbors, with his people, with fellow men. Is that right? So he, instead of killing his son, he practiced charity. He practiced charity. So this brought Abraham to be also the symbol of charity, of charitableness in our religion. He's a great symbol of charity. And he's a symbol of rational searching for truth. And the symbol of strong faith. He's all of these. Is that right? Isn't that in every human being that really loves God sincerely, that really want to be right with God? Aren't those the things that's staring in him, moving him on? A desire to be right by others. Is that right? A desire to be truthful. A desire to be rational and not stupid or silly. We're not satisfied with a religion that's mystified and superstitious. We want reality. The human nature presses us to find the reality, to find the absolute truth, to find truth unveiled, separated from superstition and mystery. Is that right? We are moved like that. Abraham is a symbol of that, the symbol of that thirst for naked truth. He wouldn't accept any superstition. He wouldn't accept half truth. He wanted the whole truth, the plain, rational truth. What brought him to seek it and not give up? Faith in God. The strength of Abraham was his faith in God. This shows you, brother and sister, what will make the best scientist. The best force to move the scientist to his highest peak, to his greatest glory, is faith in God. Right faith in God will lead you to truth and you will never give up. You will die on the path of truth. Right faith in Almighty God. Yes, right faith in Almighty God brings out the rational man and brings out the moral man. and also brings out the charitable person. Because as long as we are short of truth, believing, having faith in God, as long as we are short of truth, we are not satisfied. If truth say, oh, you still have to go a little bit more. Say, well, what is the next step I have to take, truth? You have to give up your own son's life. That truth seeker will say, son, I'm sorry, but there has to be a sacrifice today. And Abraham, he was weeping, but he said, son, there has to be a sacrifice today. Because I know God is God. And I know that I have been inspired to do this thing. And I'm going to do it because I believe in truth. He didn't say, well, this is my son. I can rationalize here. No, if you believe God speaking, if God says take the son's life, you have to obey if you're a man of truth. Yes, so he says that Abraham, when he was about to take his son's life, God says, no, Abraham. Says, the vision that you had, you've already fulfilled it. Meaning that God only did this to test you, Abraham. God was not really, was not wanting your son's life. God was wanting to bring out before humanity the faith of in the human being, the love for God, and the faith that the human being has in his God, that he will even slay his most beloved son if he thinks God asked that of him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? This is not God's nature, this is human